Good evening. My guest is literally one of the world's most beautiful women, April Lefrieux. April currently holds the crown of Mrs. World 2012 and also won the inestimable title of Mrs. America in 2011. And if that isn't incredible enough, she was the first runner-up for Miss America as well. April's also here with us this evening to discuss another life-changing event for her. Her will to win both the Mrs. America and Mrs. World titles was further tested and reinforced by the serious 2010 diagnosis of retinal pigmentosa, which is a genetic retinal degenerative eye disease that gradually leads to blindness. Also joining me tonight is Mandy Starling, CW TV personality and model. And also helping me is Melissa Studdard. She's with Tefera Journal, also a well-known author, best-selling author. Hi, Mandy, and hi, Melissa. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hello.
Hi. Thank you, Jeff, for having me.
So welcome. Hi, April. Are you with us?
I am here. Good evening.
I'm honored to have the opportunity to speak with you this evening.
Well, I am honored as well to actually be among all of you. Thank you so much.
So I want to read a little bit of background about you first before we begin, and also about Mandy. I want to introduce you all kind of officially. I'll be joined tonight by my special co-host, Mandy Starling. Mandy is a dynamic and lovely CW television personality and a style blogger and model. She's brought the best of art, leisure, lifestyle, and society worlds to her viewers in Savannah, Georgia. Mandy was recently featured in South Magazine, was invited by Maverick Networks for an assignment for the 2013 Academy Awards. Thank you so much for joining me, Mandy.
Thank you, Jeff. I'm glad to be here.
And, of course, last but never least, to me with the show is another stunning beauty and my dearest friend, Melissa Studdard. Melissa is the best-selling author of the young adult books, 6 Weeks of Yehida, and its companion journal, My Yehida. She's a featured writer, poet, contributing editor for prestigious Tefera Journal publication. She's a Tefera Talk radio show host as well, so she also does shows like this. She's a quality writing professor and the Rooster Moans Poetry Cooperative teaching artist. Melissa, thank you so much for joining me here.
Thank you, Jeff. It's my pleasure.
I mean, you're regularly, you know, on Block Talk Radio in the spotlight. You're being the woman behind the curtain for me tonight. You're just interviewing some of the most recognizable names in literature and arts. So thank you for stepping in and getting out of the spotlight for the day.
I love it. I'm happy to assist you, and you've done it for me many times. So I'm happy to be here.
It's been my absolute pleasure. Well, why don't we begin? April, you ran for Mrs. Florida, USA, 4 times before you finally won. What an excellent role model you are for not giving up on your dreams. What advice would you give to others on how to keep up the belief and persistence when the world and sometimes our family and friends are not sure what we're up to, but the world's just not supporting your goal yet?
Well, the best advice I could give is if you really want something, you've got to go for it. And if you get knocked down, get back up. And getting knocked down, I tell you, it's not easy. I was knocked down many, many times. But I think when you get knocked down, you have that mirror in front of you and you're able to analyze yourself. Okay, what did I do wrong? Probably nothing like you did wrong, but I would say what you can improve on. I think in everyday life, as we get older, we improve. So I think it's a good way to analyze yourself and improve and just to keep going. And I knew that would be an outlet for me to use for my awareness mission, so I just kept going for it. And, boy, did it pay off. So it's been a journey.
That's a wonderful lead into what I wanted to speak about next, and I want to give a background about this very serious illness, retinitis pigmentosa, because we're going to really kind of focus on that tonight as well. I mean, there's a lot to talk about, but I absolutely want to make sure that people are more aware of this, increase awareness, hopefully some more funding for it. So April and her sister Melissa, who was the first person in her family to be diagnosed with RP, were pioneers in establishing the Foundation Fighting Blindness, Tampa, Florida chapter in 2007. Both sisters co-chaired Tampa's first Vision Walk in 2008. She served as a Tampa Bay chapter president from 2007 to present and was given the wonderful 2010 Volunteer of the Year Award at the Vision Conference in Baltimore, Maryland. April's mission as a mom is to find a cure for RP. She speaks at numerous events about her journey to becoming Mrs. World and for the foundation. She tirelessly advocates and supports. Her goals are to raise awareness and funds for retinal degenerative eye diseases, and with a new title as National Spokesperson for the Foundation Fighting Blindness, April is reaching out at the national level to fulfill her mission.
Yes, it's been a real honor. And I must say, if you've noticed recently in all the news reports and so forth, there's been a lot of attention to blinding diseases. And I wouldn't say I was the innovator in that, but being the first beauty queen title holder to bring that to national attention is an honor. And to have other people, like I think just over the summer, Connor Boss is a visually impaired young lady, and she was just on national television, and she has Stargardt disease, which is a juvenile form of macular degeneration. And just last Saturday, a four-year-old boy that has LCA, which is a juvenile form of my disease, RP, he was just now on CNN. So it's really nice to see how the public awareness is getting out there. And I get so many emails and messages on Facebook that are so reassuring for everything that I'm doing. Just people out there just thanking me for being a face for the Foundation Fighting Blindness and going out there and being a voice. And that's exactly what I wanted to do. And I told my husband when I decided to enter into the pageant circuit that this was my goal. I was not going to steer away from it, and I haven't, and it truly paid off. So it's been wonderful. I cannot complain about my entire reign. It's been more than I ever expected.
And in the same vein, you also made history by being the oldest winner to be crowned in the Mrs. World pageant's 35-year history. And I love your motto is become what you believe. And you really seem to be living that motto now. What does this mean for you and those closest to you?
Well, I think for women in general, that new saying that the 40s are now the new 20s, it's good to prove that, because as we get older, I have to say I have truly improved emotionally and mentally as I've peaked over the age of 40. I'm going to be 44 now in May. And I look back at myself in my 20s and 30s, and I actually love myself more now. I think the wisdom and knowledge really grows with you as you get older. So when I was competing against 20 and 30-year-olds. And at first I was intimidated, but then I could see the casualness and the calmness that I had over some of the other ladies, because I think when you're older, you know how to put things in a really good perspective. And when you're cool as a cucumber, it comes across great and confident. And I think that was a really big key in my winning streak. So, yeah, I say at any age, if you want to do anything in life, go for it. Look at Betty White. She's recreated herself at the age of, 90?
Yes, we adore Betty. You're right. I mean, talk about the ultimate role model.
She's the ultimate, yeah. Absolutely.
And I've watched a lot of the interviews, and I actually watched the pageant with Florence Henderson, who's another great role model. And you really do. Well, you epitomize just beauty and grace. You know, when you were speaking, the question, little quotes in here, those formulaic questions, didn't turn out Miss South Carolina or Miss America pageant. Let's go.
You know, that is the most terrifying part when you get up there. If you can nail that final question and you hit a home run. But I have to say, if I evaluated when I competed at Florida and America and World, as I teared up when I was at Mrs. World competing and it was that final question moment, I had such a calmness over me because
really?
I was confident in what I was going to talk about.
You did. I've seen the video. Absolutely. You're just so poised. It's amazing.
Oh.
I could also see looking at the way that Florence Henderson was looking at you, you could see that she was beaming. She was also very impressed and very pleased by your answer as well. And you had the hometown crowd, which I thought was just so cool.
Oh, thank you. And let me tell you, she's an amazing woman. She's got so much wit and character. When she's, not on camera and the camera's not on her, she's funny. She's a trip. So, and we would all call her mom. So she really makes you feel comfortable on stage, and she was just precious. And she was there when I was crowned Mrs. America. So,
oh,
you know, yeah, she was the host for Mrs. America. So she saw me go from Florida to America and to world. So she was very proud as well.
Well, Melissa, I want to get back to our focal point tonight, especially. Would you let our listeners know exactly what retinitis pigmentosa is? How many people are affected by it in the U.S.?
Yes.
And what it is, what the CIRS degenerative eye disorder is?
Yes, it's called retinitis pigmentosa, a retinal degenerative eye disease. So I always like to stress it's a genetic disorder. It's not something that you can get sometime in your lifetime. You're born with it. With RP, that's what we call it for short, you can be diagnosed at practically any age. The norm is to be diagnosed within the age of probably mid-teenage years to probably mid-20. My sister was diagnosed at the age of 21.
Okay.
And with the technology these days, they're actually able to, you know, diagnose it earlier. That's why they were able to diagnose my children at 6 and 10.
Because of the genetic, so, they can do the genetic screening now, and that's why that's changed, correct?
Well, I think just the technology and their equipment to look in the back of the eye and look at the retina, because what happens to the retina, it gets black pigment deposited on the retina. And basically, in layman terms, what happens, you have a protein deficiency in your body, and your eye is not able to flush out the garbage.
Okay.
So instead of the garbage man taking out the garbage sits on the retina and creates these black spots, and that's what basically it's like pulling down the shade and taking away your vision. So it seems so simple and easy to cure. Let's cure this protein deficiency. But, you know, we're getting there. I tell you, we're making a lot of strides with the Foundation Fighting Blindness. So that's what keeps me hopeful. But in regards to RP, there's different forms. You have recessive, you have dominant, and you have X-linked. And then you also have autosomal dominant and autosomal recessive, which means one parent can carry it. In my case, we were diagnosed with X-linked. So the genes were carried from a female to the male. So typically the females are not effective, but of course, being who we are and always the unlucky number, we have that low percentage of the females being affected.
Okay.
That's why my sister has RP and was the first to be diagnosed. That's why it was really hard to diagnose what we had, because one doctor kept saying you have X-linked, but I don't understand why the females are carrying it, because it's typically not the norm. So if you don't have a crystal ball, you don't know when it's going to be total darkness. And I have to say, when they refer to people with retinal degenerative eye diseases, you never totally, totally go blind. There are a percentage. What really happens is like tunnel vision.
I was going to ask you if it began peripherally and then moves and sort of moves in like blinders. Okay.
Yes, it's like having blinders on. So your field becomes very, very minimized. So someone that's very advanced with RP is like looking through a straw where they're down to less than 10% of field.
Oh, my goodness.
Right. And then, I know one gentleman, he doesn't see anything at all. So it's a very unpredictable disease. Some can go their lifetime just being visually impaired and using the technology and all the equipment, you know, to get around and be mobile in life. And then there's some that are unfortunate that have a faster pace and go faster. I'm actually banking on my sister, her disease, and kind of analyzing how she's been dealing with it and banking on that as our prognosis. And she's already 45. She's visually impaired. She does not drive anymore. However, she's very grateful for what she can see. She describes her vision as looking through lace. So she has open pockets that she can see gray, and then there's the blind spots that she doesn't see
anything. I tell you, one of the things that's most impressed me about you, Rachel, is just your outlook. I mean, this is such a serious, serious diagnosis. I mean, this is, when you think about it, your vision, I mean.
Yeah.
can't take many more. I mean, talk about a vital sense. And your attitude is just it's so inspiring to me. I think you know, there's something personal you know about me as well. So I'm challenging in another way that way. But again, your outlook is just, not going to say it's sort of, well, I don't, you know, it'll happen when it happens, or everybody have other things going on. You have a very positive outlook is what I'm trying to say. And I think that is paramount in anyone who's diagnosed with anything serious.
I think so. I don't think you should look ahead at the future. If you do that, I think it would send anybody nuts. I mean, believe me, I've had my good days and my bad days. And when I'm out speaking, there's moments I break down and cry because I'm human. But it's also been great therapy for me to be out there speaking, something I've never done before. I'm not a public speaker. I've kind of learned as I go. And I think if you speak from your heart, it becomes more genuine and people can be receptive.
And people
exactly.
And Mandy, you've been so patient as my wonderful co-host. I want to bring Mandy on to have Mandy on.
How are you doing, April?
Hi, Mandy. I know I meant to say hello to you and Melissa. So sorry.
Let's get that out of the way now, Mandy, shall we? Hello, Melissa. Hi, Mandy. Hi, April.
Hi, April.
Hi, sweetie. How are you?
Feeling well. Great to talk to you.
Thank you. And to hear your story, April, I mean, I knew detail, but this is really something. I mean, you really are a very strong woman. I mean, to be able to do everything that you have done, I mean, it's amazing to sit here and listen.
Well,
really
I'll tell you, I wake up in the morning sometime and I got knots in my stomach and anxieties because I'm like, oh, God, what I got to do today? Can I do it? And I'm serious. I'm like, oh, Lord, help me. But I just got to get out of bed and keep moving. And that's why I say maturity comes as a big factor,
right?
Because I think in my 20s and 30s, I was afraid. I was afraid of myself,
right,
and what I could do. And now I'm like, oh, God, I don't care. Let me just do it. You know, I think if you plan too much, you keep planning and planning and planning, and the planning goes in the garbage. So you just got to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I understand completely. Well, let me ask you, what kind of guidance would you give someone that has been diagnosed with RP?
Well, I would say my best guidance is to find a support group, because I will be honest, you feel alone. You do. And when they give you that diagnosis of blindness, it is kind of like you feel like you're at the end of the world. Because you do. I think out of all the five senses, I'm not being partial, but out of all the five senses that we've been given, your sight is number one. I mean, you wake up in the morning, you look at your alarm clock. I mean, something as simple as that. Imagine getting out of bed and you see nothing. So truly a support group, that's why I've been with the Foundation Fighting Blindness. Before I even found out about my two children and myself, I was just supporting my sister and trying to help her deal with her depression. And let me tell you, when you're around other people and you can exchange stories and you'll learn from one another, one might tell you of a great, you know, retinal specialist or some, you know, food, you know, vitamins, you know, there's a bunch of new things out there. It's a great learning process. Definitely there's power in numbers and power in being with other people that have your same degree. So number one advice.
That's great.
And also in the same vein, and so sad and so tragically, that as you had mentioned, April, that both of your children were diagnosed with RP, and just fairly recently, it must be difficult. And I'm trying not to be too personal, but how do you and your wonderful husband, you know, cope with the questions, and sort of, you know, guide them through this process?
I'll be honest. I think I deal with it better. He's actually very strong. My husband's been through quite a bit in his life, so he can handle, like, loss of family members and things like that. And I must say, he told me something. It was probably a couple weeks after the diagnosis when I was in depression and just feeling like the world had ended. And
totally.
He looked at me.
Sure.
Yeah. I'm like, wow, why? God, two? You know, really? And he goes, you know, April, the kids are going to have their challenges, but they're great kids. They're healthy. And that's what you need to look at. And I go, you know what? He's right. I'm not having to deal with cancer and anything that's going to be stealing their lives away. So, unfortunately, I have to look at things like, I have to look for the silver lining in any situation and in any cloud. And that's how I look at it. And if you do, you see, look, all these inspirational singers like Stevie Wonder, Mike Wyamier that climbed Mount Everest being totally blind.
Mount Everest.
Yeah. I feed off of people like that. I'm like, holy cow, they can do it. Anybody can do it. And I think it has to start being mentally capable and mentally strong and pulling yourself out of that, oh, woes is me. I don't want any pity. I don't teach my children that. I tell them to get up, keep going. Because the moment you start enabling them and making them feel sorry for themselves, that's a detriment road for the future.
Agree.
I don't go there.
I agree, April. That's literally and figuratively a dead end. That's just there's no looking back from that point.
Right. No, there isn't. There's no looking back. So yeah, when people ask me questions, I'm fairly strong about it, and then I have my moments. You know, if I see them like getting emotional, I'm like, oh, you know, here it comes. But for the most part, everyone's been great, very supportive, and I have to count my blessings. My kids are great. I have no issues with their vision right now. It's just something that's in the future. However, we do have some night blindness issues that I see happening, but you know what? That's okay. You know, we'll work around it. And night blindness is the beginning.
And I'll tell you, you and I spoke briefly last night, and I want to just mention to us, Arabelle, when you were picking up pizza to bring it back for the little birds to gun in the nest. I thought that was wonderful. And what I'm trying to say really is, yeah, you bring your nuclear family together and you put all your wagons together in a little circle. It matters. That kind of immediate support in your tight family. I can't think of anything better than support than that, to be able to look at the people you love the most and love you the most and just support each other. That's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah, it has to be a lot of support, and we definitely have that.
April, sure. Can you – oh, go ahead.
No. You go ahead.
Yeah, I would love to know, if you can tell us, what has been the hardest thing to face learning about this type of disease? For you, and your children.
You know, the hardest thing, if it was all about, like, me and my diagnosis, I think I would be handling it much better. But when it's your children, you kind of feel helpless. Yeah, and so that's why I do as much as I can. And my husband told me the other day, because my schedule is so busy, and he looked at me and he goes, April, when's it going to end? Are we going to have a normal life? And I looked up, it's not going to end until I find a cure, so get with the program.
get on board, because you're on this ride. There's no getting off.
Yes, I know. So I have kind of like thinned out my schedule a little bit. Like, we've had the last couple weekends to ourselves and so forth, but pretty much weekends, like this weekend I have an event, and just any opportunity I have to say or talk about my mission, hey, I'm there. You know, I think it's all worth it. And I'm paving the way for my kids and their future, and hopefully they can look back and say, thank you, Mommy, you know, for doing what you did. So if I can leave a legacy that they're proud of, I think that's another learning lesson as a mom to them.
Well, that goes back to what I mentioned earlier, April, when you and your sister, you pioneered in establishing that foundation fighting blindness for Tampa, Florida chapter 2007. And you co-chaired that first vision walk in 2008, which raised $42,000. Well played, madam. Well done.
Yes, that's right.
Thank you.
And that charity not only benefited those with RP, but how has working with the charity affected you? What's the global picture of that?
Yeah, I mean, being able to run the grassroots area here, let me tell you, it's not easy. It's tough. And my sister and I pioneered it in 07. And at first, like I said, I pioneered it with her just to help and support her, because she has dealt with a lot of depression. And the fact that she knew she was going to not be able to drive, that there was around the corner, was her hardest thing to give up. So, Yeah, when you're out knocking on doors and fundraising, it's not easy. And I get turned down quite a bit, but that's okay. You know, it doesn't hurt to ask. And we've done it from the get-go. I just had my vision walk in October, in the fall, and we hit 51,000. So we're growing slowly each year. And we actually went down a little bit when the economy was kind of rough 2 years ago. So it probably plays a big part in that. But personally, the money I would fundraise, I tripled since winning my crowns just because of the outreach and the media and newspapers and people like, oh, yeah, I've heard of her. And just simple email blasts. I get people that I didn't even know knew me, and they would donate something. And I take anything. I'll take a penny. You know, so I will, if any adds up. And I kind of got smart when I was Mrs. America and Mrs. World last year, still Mrs. World. I would get a lot of photo ops, and I'm like, I would be kind and said, okay, I don't want to be the bad person, so I would tell someone, you be the photo police and say, if you want a photo, can you offer a donation? So I started raising money by taking photos, and you know what? No one was offended by it, and I'm like, oh. You know, I had to get creative because I was giving so much of my time everywhere. And I'm like, all right, let's utilize this in fundraising. So
that was a great idea. And why not? I mean, certainly it's going for a great cause.
That's it. That's it. It's going for a great cause. So I'm gearing up this year again for my vision walk. It's always in the fall. And I start as early as I can because if you try to wait last minute, you know, you're unsuccessful.
Well, April, for our listeners in the Florida area, when is it exactly going to be in October, and how can
they support that? as soon as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers will release their schedule, I can actually pick my date. I have like 3 dates pending because the park that we use, the Buccaneers use for their tailgating and their parking. So hurry up, Buccaneers, so I can get my date. But it's always in the fall. It's either going to be the end of October, the very first weekend of November, and you can go to our website, which is www.visionwalk.org, and click on the state of Florida and click on Tampa, and you can see all the information for our walk. And you can actually just donate online. It's a very simple online setup. You just click, you know, if you want to do credit card or send in a check. Anything is truly appreciated because we are making tremendous strides, very, very much so. Right now we have about 8 clinical trials in effect, and I just got great news that they have a clinical trial going into effect for RP excellently. So I'm so, so anxious because one trial costs $3 million plus. It is expensive, and it'll last up to like 5 years. So at least I know there's a trial going into effect. I have about a 5-year period. Hopefully they can find some
and
great
April, this is
the
treatment
solutions.
Trial. This isn't just more genetic testing and marking and genetic markers. This is actually treatment protocol?
Well, it'll actually be like a placebo type of treatment for
double
gene therapy.
Blind.
Right, exactly. But, you know, they had a really great success story in 2009 from the Foundation Fighting Blindness for that juvenile form of RP called LCA. It's called Leber's Congenital Amaurosis. And they had about 40 participants, and 3/4 of those people were able to bring vision back to some degree. The one that made the most success was a 9-year-old boy back in 2009, and they brought vision back. It did one eye. And that one eye, they brought vision back. So the boy was blind. He was using a white cane. Now he's back in school, mainstreaming. He can read a chalkboard, and he's playing baseball. Now they're working on his second
blind.
Eye.
I just want to reinforce.
That is wonderful.
Blind. That's a
blind.
Standing,
yes.
Astounding.
Yes. So, yeah, it's very hopeful. When I keep reading all these reports and knowing where the money is going, and I really want to stress, I mean, it's probably not important, but I think it's important when people are not familiar with donating to charities, because you do hear some stories, and I just want everyone to know the reason why the Foundation Fighting Blindness is so successful is because they have minimal staff. They rely on volunteers such as us to help in the grassroots areas in our communities. So $1 out of that $1, 75 cents goes to research.
Which for
so,
those charitable organizations, it's the other way around usually.
Yes, because they're staffing so much and it turns into a business. And the founder of the Foundation Fighting Blindness, Gordon Gunn, self-made millionaire, he was a fighter pilot in the Air Force, was diagnosed with RP, had to give up his career as a fighter pilot, is now a very wealthy trade investor.
Mm-hmm.
So he created the Foundation Fighting Blindness 40 years ago, and every time he speaks, the sincerity that comes from him, he goes, I want to close this business. I want to see. So we have a gentleman that is affected that runs this foundation. So anyone that wants it more than anyone would be Gordon Gunn. He wants to be able to see his family again. So that, I think that really is huge in regards to someone that's wanting to see this done quicker than anybody else. So we have a great group of people. They're just fabulous. They're my second family. And when I'm around them at events and speaking, I have to go to D.C. in the middle of April. I feel at home, you know, and I don't have to explain myself. We're just up there talking and exchanging. And I do tell my story, and it touches everyone's heart because it is rare to have two of your biological children both be affected.
And your sister. I mean, it couldn't be any closer to home. It's not possible to be any closer to home for you, this disease.
Exactly. And I tell people, my two kids and I were diagnosed on the same day. I don't talk about myself as much because my kids, I think any mom, you always put your kids first. But he told me first that I had RP. I had never known. I was seeing symptoms and signs, but I thought it was just, you know, probably getting older, because as we do get older, we do, you know, lose some of our vision. You know, there's always something. And I would tell my sister, you know, I'm experiencing this, but no one's ever diagnosed me. She goes, that's weird. And I said, maybe I'm asymptomatic, carrying something. You know, I couldn't figure it out. Yeah, and when he looked at me and said, do you realize you have cataracts? I'll never forget him saying that. And I was just blown away. And cataracts at a young age is one of the first signs of having retinitis pigmentosa. It's like everything gets accelerated internally in your eye. And as soon as he said that, they were still testing my kids. I already knew. And I just, you have no idea how I felt like my world was completely black. And then the feeling of guilt, I know I had nothing to do with it. It's just genetics. But feeling guilty that I...
Yeah, because you had said that you had genetic testing and you showed the recessive, and so you really didn't believe, based on that sort of scientific empirical data, it wouldn't be carried. But it was anyway.
Why? Yeah. What it was, they didn't do any blood work back in the day when we did it, and mm-hmm. it was really focused on my sister before she got married. She wanted to know what her future forecast would be. So she went to the University of South Florida to a genealogist department, and they did what they knew back then. So, yeah, I mean, we went on with our life, and they said she had recessive as long as her husband didn't have the gene. Don't worry. Go on. Continue with your life. God, I didn't think twice.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, get married, and I have kids, and 10 years later, boom, you know. So I was in denial, huge denial. Doctor visits.
I would say certainly appropriately quite a bit of anger as well. I know for me it would feel that way too.
I'll tell you, on the second doctor visit, because the first doctor visit, it was a routine and it was an optometrist at VisionWorks. And I always thank VisionWorks. I'm like, thank you for like pinpointing something, but this poor optometrist didn't know what to tell me. He goes, something is wrong. I don't understand. I'm like, what do you mean? And so I went on to make an appointment with an ophthalmologist. I took both my son and my daughter. And I'm sitting there, and he looks at me. And at first it was my son in the chair, and he goes, I see some possibilities of retinitis pigmentosa. And I was like the exorcist. My head spinned around, and I was spewing out green stuff, and I went, that's genetically impossible. He thought I was a crazy lady because I was just told it wouldn't happen. And then my daughter gets in the chair, and I just was like slouched in my chair. I had to hold my composure because I didn't want my kids to see what was going on. And I try not to say too much in front of them, even to this day, because they're still young, because I want them to be young and happy and carefree and enjoy life. But holy smokes, it was just, it was traumatic. It was tough. One of the toughest, darkest days of my life. And then to move on to Shan's Hospital to get the final, you know, diagnosis. It was...
But like you said, April, you are a woman. Oh. My mother just does. And I have father too. I'm going to add my gender. Their father, parents just know. They just innately just know what something's going on. You just do.
You do. I knew in my heart. I had that sunken, dark feeling in my heart, but I was just hoping for the best. But I look back now, and it was the best thing that ever happened to me because it made me look at life in a different way. And
there you go, April, with that wonderful perspective again.
Yep.
The glasses half.
And you made me sure
it turns it into positive.
To get awareness out there. This is why you're one of my favorite people already.
Thank you. I just wake up every day and I appreciate life, you know.
Exactly. Now, April, as the Reigning Miss World, what do you hope to accomplish in the following years?
To continue paving the ground and reaching more people, growing my vision walk here to do my small portion of contributing to a cure. And if I'm 100 years old, sorry. Yeah, just to see it happen. Yeah. Not easy.
Your heart.
Yeah, it's not easy. But, you know.
Well, you know our prayers are with you and your children.
I can't complain. Yeah.
And we all love you to death. You know that. And you would
well,
not realize
you guys.
How much an inspiration you are to a lot of people, and I know it's hard.
Yeah, it is.
As a mother, it is really hard.
So please, and take a moment to compose yourself, April, and thank you. I'm getting real clap myself here.
I know.
I want to know this, and I don't know how she does it, but please ask her now how she does juggle, keep all of these things.
Yes.
How
do you balance everything, April? I mean,
I don't know. I mean,
you are an inspiration to other mothers and how you're able to balance so many things, from Miss World, your children, you know, you're a loving wife, a successful business owner, a spokesperson for the Blindness Foundation, a volunteer. I mean it's amazing. I mean, truly,
well,
you are a gift.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I have to say, I have to credit my husband for holding down the fort when I'm so busy and my laundry gets piled up like Mount Everest. You know, there's always something that gets left behind. But I tackle the things as much as I can. And my goodness, thank God for technology and cell phones with emails and my paper book, old school calendar. I'm old school. I live and die by my calendar, and I schedule. I'm very much time management, and that's the only way to do it. And like I said, sometimes I can't think about it because I'll get overwhelmed, but you have to just get up and put one foot forward, and it always works out. When you think, oh, my goodness, how am I going to make this happen, it always works out. So don't sweat it. Don't freak out. Just do what you got to do, and the supportive family is key.
That's
my secret.
Oh, you're supposed to do laundry. You're supposed to wash your clothes. Okay. Who knew?
Oh, yes. I even drive a forklift at the office. The other day I had to offload a slab off a truck. All my guys were out installing.
Oh, if you're going to tell me, would you have I hope you had the tear on. That would be such an image.
It was so funny. The truck drives up. One of my vendors delivering slabs. And I forgot completely this truck was coming and all my crew was gone. And he goes, well, I'll drive the forklift. You get on the truck and latch it on. I went, okay, I couldn't think about how to get the slab off the truck.
You know, I have to tell you, April, that image now is going to be stuck in my mental mind for the rest of my life of you in that, you know, I've seen the videos, you in that sparkly dress with the heels, that tiara with the sash on driving a forklift. So thank you for that.
Oh, yeah, you should have seen me. This truck is like 10 feet tall, and I'm climbing up like a monkey on the back. And the guy goes, "You are the prettiest helper I ever had." Oh, so I just do it. So, yeah, I got a smile and laugh. That's just, it makes it so much more easier. It does.
It really is. I mean, I know it's so cliche that laughs is the best medicine, but it really is. You know, I'd rather cry from laughing too hard than from, you know, just feeling sad. You know, the tears are the tears, but they're so different. You feel so differently after the other.
You do. You feel light and free on your feet and like you could just fly anywhere when you got happy tears. And when you're sad, you just feel like your feet are concreted to the ground. So it is completely different.
And I'll tell you, you are just such an elegant, lovely lady, and I have so enjoyed having you on as my guest, April. I adore you. I really do.
Oh, I adore you.
I mean,
you guys are awesome.
Of being the oldest woman to be crowned, you were absolutely, in my opinion and my perspective, the youngest in spirit and in heart there, and not too bad looking either. And you got to realize that I'm so old. My decision on papyrus. I'm just saying.
Thank you. Oh my goodness.
But when you pass the crown. Obviously, you'll just continue your work. Are you going to continue to do, I mean, you've reached the pinnacle. Are you going to continue to do more pageants? Or because that gives you such, you know, being in the forefront there with that, helping with getting the awareness out for RP. How are you'll continue to do that in that capacity, working with your Tampa chapter and the Blindness Foundation?
Absolutely. The great thing about winning my title is there's such huge names that they carry with me forever. So, you know, I always have this, hey, I'm Mrs. America. Sometimes when I say, hi, I'm April Lufield, clicked, hi, this is Mrs. America. You'll be amazed how they want to listen.
I know, I told you, I'm already doing it myself because all this last week I've been calling people, you know, friends have been calling, I've said to them, I've got to go because I have to call Mrs. World. And I say, you don't hear that every day, do you? They're like, yeah, that's impressive. So I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, and it's so funny. I think I was telling you the other day, Mrs. World is the top of everything. So I've reached the Mount Everest of pageants. I'm done. I'm retired. But I'll be in. It's amazing, though, because with my husband, I think every husband adores their wife in a certain way, and they say, oh, this is my wife, my love, my life, or something like that, and some will say, oh, this is my world. My husband, when he's so proud and it's a moment to share my accomplishment, he'll say, this is Mrs. World, and they'll go, huh? They have to, like, think twice. When I was Mrs. America, there was no thinking twice, I think, because Miss America is such a huge name for the single women. It was easier to associate. So some people have to do a double take about Mrs. World. They're like, holy cow, really? Mrs. World? I'm like, yeah, for real. He's not just calling me his world. I'm Mrs. World also.
And yeah, I know was that part of the going around the world representing Mrs. World? Was that part of that?
Yes. You know, I was so busy as Mrs. America, but when I was crowned Mrs. World, oof, it really took off. And you know what? It was what I wanted because I was busy, but I just kept, I don't know, you guys are all very successful, and you know you always keep reaching for more goals. You want more and you want more. I wanted so much more. I was so hungry to do so much more. And when I won that crown, I would just say, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, it gave me that extra year to continue my work. Well, I didn't realize how much more busier. But you know what? It's taking care of that hunger. And I'm still going to have that hunger when I pass on the crown. But I've learned so much how to publicize and I guess brand myself, that I'll continue in some way, in some capacity, you know. So that's what I'm hoping for, to continue in other media outlets or whatever comes my way. I'm ready for another open door.
Well, you are just an outstanding and an amazing lady, and such a role model for women in so many ways, April. Mandy, any follow-up questions? We're about to say goodnight. And April, would you please, at this opportunity, and Mandy as well, and Melissa, please let us know. You gave us your one website, Foundation for the Blindness. Any other websites where people can reach you? Your website, which is, it's, please spell that as well. I want people to be able to connect with you after the show for RP.
Yes, absolutely. My personal website is April Lufriu, and you spell Lufriu, L-U-F like Frank, R-I-U. So it's aprillufriu.com. You can connect with me, send me an email if you have any questions. The national website for the Foundation Fighting Blindness is www.blindness.org, or you can even go to fightblindness.org. Both of them generate you right to the Foundation Fighting Blindness national website. And on that website, you can educate yourself on all the diseases that we support. You can read about all the clinical trials that are taking place, where the money's being allocated, the sequester with the Capitol Hill and how we're fighting that. And then the Vision Walks have their own website, which you can link it from our national website of fightblindness.org, but the Vision Walk website is www.visionwalk.org, and it'll take you to the homepage, and you can actually see throughout the whole nation where there is a Vision Walk, which is great. So you could have one right next door in your hometown. If you want to support me personally on my Vision Walk, you click on Florida, click on Tampa, and you'll definitely read all about us.
I said, I've been there a number of times, and yeah, it's very easy to navigate. Again, there's a map right on the front page, and you just click on the little dot for Tampa. You put your mouse over it, and it pops up Tampa, and you click on that, and you can go right there. Mandy,
hey, Dave.
Make sure to give a link to your website as well, please.
Mine is www.mandystarling.com, and
spell it, honey.
Spell
it, please.
It's Mandy, MandyStarling.com.
Okay.
And and hopefully we'll have April here in Savannah before too long. We'll have some pictures up there on the blog. Get to show her around Savannah.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it.
That'd make for some great photo ops. Drive up in the forklift.
Yes, and Jeff will be here too.
I hope so, yeah.
Oh, awesome.
He's going to come.
That is my plan, to get together with you two and just have a wonderful time, and then head over to see Melissa in Texas right after that. Melissa, would you please, and thank you so much, my RB, my wonderful friend, for helping me out with the show. Could you please know where they can get in touch with you and find you?
Sure. It's just www.melissastudder.com, and it's spelled MelissaStudderd, and it has information about my radio show and my editing and teaching and writing.
Excellent. Do you have a question you'd like to ask April before we say goodnight?
You know, I had like 5 questions I wanted to ask her.
Please go
already. No, I'm saying you two asked them already. You were so thorough. It was fabulous.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
If you have a question, fire away.
No, I did. I did. When we first started, I had several questions, but they have both asked, and you've answered, and I feel like I've heard everything I wanted to hear. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much, everyone.
You were such a wonderful guest, too. It felt like you were so totally present and authentic and genuine, and it was just wonderful. So thank you.
Oh, thank you. You gave me an opportunity to talk, and that's all I ever want, is to be heard. So thank you.
And once again, I want to follow up and just thank you again, April. Thank you, Mandy. Thank you, Melissa. And I want to just add, if I may just interject, I also have a great face for radio.
Okay. Yes, you do.
I don't believe it.
Thank you all so much for being with me. This is one of my favorite interviews of all time. I adore you all. Thank you, my listeners. Please get the word out about retinitis pigmentosa. Visit everyone's page. Visit Vision Blindness Foundation page. Please donate. Please help get the word out. And now let's all do a happy dance.
Yay!
Happy dance!
I like what you say. Scrappy Doo dance. I have to learn that.
Thank you, Mandy. Thank you, Melissa.
Well, thank you, Jeff. I'll talk to all of y'all later on, okay?
Okay. Good night.
Good night, Mandy. Have a great night.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, sweetie. Thank you all. Bye-bye.